Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to face the podcast with Ellie Gibson, Helen Thorne, and Stacey Solomon!
Did that sound authentic?
Yeah, for a minute there, it took me back. I was like, where am I?
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. We are super excited today because along with Ellie Gibson
and Helen Thorne,
we have Stacey Solomon. Oh my God. Hello, Stacey. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm very excited to be here. We're in your house in Essex.
You certainly are. We're better to do a podcast.
I honestly, this...
I'm never leaving.
Yes.
This is really nice.
Amazing.
It's so beautiful.
Now, Stacey, of course, you are a singer, a TV presenter and a reality television star. You rose to fame on The X Factor and then you won at I'm a Celebrity. Get me out of here. And you're Queen of the Jungle.
Yeah. I've still got my crown and my...
Yeah. Oh wow.
Oh, I had such a great experience on the show. I really, really enjoyed every second of it, even the horrible bits.
Do you still eat kangaroo penis every couple of days?
No, I probably eat worse stuff than that, like quinoa and that's worse. Yeah.
So let's just kick straight off, Stacey. Tell us about your family.
I have two children, Zachary and Layton. Zachary's 8, Layton is 4.
And your mum, we just met your mum. Your mum lives with you.
Yes, here. My mum lives with me. When I split up from my partner, the first thing I thought was, yes, now my mum can move back in.
You've left your partner for your mother, basically.
Yeah, I mean, she's just an unbelievable woman, and I couldn't do what I do without her. And I literally couldn't think of anyone I feel more comfortable with looking after my children and helping me with day-to-day things. And she's just one of those mums that if I say, don't give them lollipops, she'll be like, you're not having a lolly, whether you like me or not. And whereas there's plenty of people in their life that are like, have a lolly.
Yeah.
It's like, mummy's not here.
Yeah.
So she's just amazing.
Your first one, Zachary?
Yes.
He's 8. And how old were you when you had him?
I was 18 when I had Zachary, and 17 when I fell pregnant. It was the most horrendous ordeal of my life. Like, no woman ever tells you what giving birth is going to be like. And for an 18-year-old who'd never even broke a bone, like, I literally thought I was going to die.
Mm.
I genuinely thought this is it. Like, no, this isn't normal. People love giving birth.
Yeah.
Everyone kept saying to me, oh, good luck, it's going to be great. Liars. They all lied to me. I like tore open. I went to the toilet on a B-day for a year afterwards, just like pushing the water on my nunny, you know, like to try and stop it from hurting. I hated it. I hated every second of it. And because I was so young, it was a bit more, I felt it was a bit more of an old-fashioned outlook 8 years ago. And I remember being in the ward, you know, where they keep you afterwards and you're in those little, and having this baby next to me, thing I used to call him, and he was screaming, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know, what does he want? What am I supposed to do? Do I pick him up? And the nurse came in and was like, what is wrong with him? And you know, and you're just like, oh, I don't know what's wrong with him. And I was crying my eyes out. I was like, I don't know what to do. And she was like, you can't cry, you're a mother now. And I was
oh my God.
The tears just flew out even faster. I was just like, oh my God, I can't even cry. Like, I don't know what to do. I found it really, really difficult with Zach, really difficult. And when they make you stay in, no one's allowed to stay in with you. So my mum couldn't be there. So I was there for like 3 days and had like a little visit from my mum in between. And I just thought, I don't know what to do. Like, I was just miserable.
And you mentioned there you had quite a difficult birth, because that's sort of how we met, isn't it? Because we were at the book launch for the wonderful Letters to My Fanny by Cherry Healy.
Yeah.
And Helen and I, we were on like a panel and we talked about our birth stories, and I talked about how I'd had stitches and things. And I went up to you and I said, Stacey, can I just say, I love you. I think you're amazing. I'm a huge fan. I voted for you all the time, The X Factor. I just think you're brilliant. And you just went, oh my God, I think you're amazing. Oh, that story you told about stitches. Oh, when it happened to me, I was ripped all the way up to my arsehole.
Yeah.
And you know, in terms of like meeting your heroes, it was possibly the best moment of my life. I was just like, oh my God. But yeah, so we both had a traumatic.
It was a bonding experience, wasn't it? You both talked about your fanny being torn apart.
Yeah.
But being a woman is a bonding experience, because no one can, no man has a bond like that. No, every woman knows.
Or a tear like that.
Every woman that's had a child knows what it's like to give birth, nice or not nice. So you all share the same thing in common. Mm. Like, all mothers have the same, like, oh my God, can you believe we did that?
Yeah.
It's horrendous.
We're idiots. What were we thinking?
But then we
did it again. Oh my God.
And the second time around, I felt like a superwoman.
Really?
Feel like I can literally fight anyone, achieve anything, do anything. I just pushed a baby out of my vagina in like 2 hours.
Wow.
No, there's nothing.
You were about to get in the ring with Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
afterwards.
I was already.
Take that!
I've got a fanny
of steel. Bam!
So how? And going back to like when you had the first baby and stuff, and you felt like you didn't really have a lot of support apart from your mum, obviously. Like, how was it like when you got home? Did you have that thing that people have when you get home with the baby? And you're like, but where's the instructions? Like, what?
No, I ended up feeling really depressed throughout it all, and a lot of that part of my life is really fuzzy, because I just kept looking at Zach and not realizing that he was my baby. I kind of just felt like, what is this? Like, what am I doing here? Like, how do I do this? And I never put two and two together, and I got really down. I was breastfeeding, which I found awful. I felt like a human cow. I really didn't enjoy it. It's not something I will do again. Like, and I genuinely was just like, this thing's attached to my breast. I don't know what it wants. It cries all the time. I'm up every hour of the night. Like, I just couldn't stand it. And it was my mum who turned around to me when he was about 3 months old. And she was like, just stop breastfeeding. There's nothing wrong with not... You know what I mean? Like, if you didn't do it from the start, it will be no different to bottle feeding. And then she was like, why don't you go away... get away for a week with your friends. So she sent me on a holiday with my friends and was just like, just go.
Yeah.
Just go and get over it. And it's traumatic, childbirth, and I don't think anyone prepares you for that, especially when your body is a certain way. And then all of a sudden, like, I can't laugh without wetting myself. And it's all right now, I'm 26, I have 2 children, and they're the best
thing
that
ever
happened
to me. And a lot of incontinence
pads. Yeah, it's true. And a lot of wet sofas. But I genuinely, no one prepared me for that. And I wasn't ready at 18 years old to go through it. And my whole body changed. I get spots that I never get. Like, I was literally torn to my bumhole. Yeah. Like, I had to look at my sutures every day and make sure they weren't infected. And little things like that just really change you as a person. You're not a carefree child anymore. You've really got to take responsibility for yourself. So anything happens to you, that child has no one. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think you had postnatal depression, or do you think...
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Looking back on it now, I definitely had postnatal depression, and I was really embarrassed about it. So when I started feeling better and, adoring that person that I'd bring into the world and thinking, oh my God, how did I ever live without you? I then got that cloud of like, oh, how did I ever not want you? Like, oh, how did I ever even think that you weren't a great thing? It was really weird. It's like a really weird... But then I've learned as you go on, my son's 8 and I still worry about what I'm doing for him. I still feel guilty. If I give him sweets, I'm like, oh, I'm so terrible. He's going to get diabetes, or do you know what I mean? Like, I do feel really like I'm always guilty as a mother.
Yeah.
No matter what I do.
No, I think that's the thing about that. And Ellie wrote about this in a blog we wrote about the fear that you just... All of a sudden, you think, I'm never going to stop worrying about this baby until I die.
Yeah.
I'm going to worry about where they are and what they're doing, if they're happy, if they've got a nice partner later on, like all those good things. But to balance that out, you do get that extraordinary love. Like the joy that you cannot get from anything else, I think, when you see them laugh or
do something good.
Yeah.
Or someone says to you, do you know what the best feeling I ever get is when they've been to their friend's house or been out somewhere and people are like, do you know what? They're so polite and lovely. And I'm like, oh, yes. Like, yes. That is my best friend.
That's like, it's like parent cocaine.
Hi, my kids are not assholes. Oh, my God.
Say it again. Write it down. Give me a certificate.
Exactly. But also, I find that my kids are assholes, like, with me. Yeah. Like, they're awful. So rude. Like, not awful all the time, but they're giving me attitude, and I just think, no one is going to like you if you behave this way. Yeah. And then they go out to other people, or they're at school and they've got like gleaming school reports. And I'm like, do you know what? That means something's getting through to them. They can be as nasty, as rude, as naughty as they want inside the house to me. But when they go out, as long as a little bit of what I say has got in their brain and they behave like civil, great human beings.
Yeah.
Done.
So people say, I just want my kids to be happy. And I sort of think, actually, I don't. I want my kids to be happy, but I also want them to be like...
successful?
No. No, actually, not in the sense that I don't want them to necessarily make a load of money or be famous or even have like amazing jobs. But if they want to work in a chip shop and they're happy, that's fine. That's up to them. But like, I'd like them to be nice members of society. Yeah. I'd like them to spread happiness in the world rather than rudeness and disdain, which is what they mainly do currently. But they're very young. There's a lot of time.
See, I want my children to have a good heart. I think that's the most important thing. But at the same time, I don't want them to get walked over in life. I mean, there's a big list for my kids. So right. I want them to have a huge heart. Yeah. I don't want them to be walked over, and I want them to be able to stand up for themselves. And I want them to achieve, because I always feel like if you don't achieve in life, then you're not satisfied.
It depends what your measure of success is. I think there's
I don't think there is a measure on success, though.
Yeah.
I think success is your own.
Yeah, exactly. Thing.
Like, so I want them to, anything that they enjoy doing, I want them to do it 100%.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it is. Like you said, even if it's a fish and chip shop, if that's what they want to do, then I want them to achieve it. And I want them to love it.
And everybody's sense of achievement and success, it changes. Well, for me, it changes day to day. Like today, having Stacey Solomon on the podcast feels like a huge achievement.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, I might have a really terrible night's sleep, and just getting to 5 p.m. without starting drinking, that might feel like an amazing achievement. I just don't know.
Exactly. Even getting to lunchtime sometimes, when you open the door and the Chardonnay winks at you, like, no, hush now, my friend. Wait till dinner.
It's not your time.
No.
Soon
we will be connected. Yeah. So, I mean, you are a mum in the media. Has that felt like an extra pressure both for you and your boys?
Yeah.
You sort of like...
People seem to think that I'm inhumane, but no, not inhumane as in an...
Like a robot.
Like I'm not a human. Like that I don't do normal things. People genuinely seem to think that because I'm... Oh, my God. Sorry.
Sorry. No, that's all right.
Mark. Hi, it's Joe Swash.
All right, yes, fair enough.
We just had to pause the podcast because Joe Swash has turned up. Definitely not overwhelmed by celebrity, not starry-eyed at all.
No, no, and we're being heckled by a small dog.
Sorry.
What were we saying?
We were just talking about you being a celebrity and then Joe Swash turned up.
Yeah.
As they do. This is how it happens.
Then a chihuahua started barking. It was very normal.
I looked at him and I was like, oh, yeah, it's Joe Swash. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, we're just waiting for Simon Cowell to turn up for crumpets.
Oh, no, he's due about 4 o'clock.
So we were talking about, is there an added pressure?
Yeah, so people seem to think that I am this, like, superior being that never can do wrong and doesn't ever have a drink or, you know what I mean, doesn't go out.
Mm.
And I just find that really hard to grasp, because what we should be doing, as mums in general, is just saying, how friggin' hard is this? Like, how amazing are we doing? Even if you have a glass of wine after dinner when you put them to bed, or even if you have a glass of wine and you're out in the garden with your friends and they're running around.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with you. You're a normal human being. And the only thing that I find hard about children and being in the spotlight is that I can't be a normal human being. I have to accept that I'm an example to maybe younger people or older people, and that if I do go out with my children, I have to be really careful about what I do.
You can't have a cheeky Chardonnay at the soft play.
I cannot. No. I know. Gone are those days when I have a bottle of vodka. So, I mean, I don't drink, which is helpful, really helpful. But, you know, like, sometimes I can't be bothered to put the straps all the way over the over the pram, like the buggy, when they're like 4 years old, and you think there's a, I can't strap you in anymore because you're too big.
Yeah.
And then I think, oh, if I don't strap him in, will someone take a picture of me and be like, she hasn't strapped her 4 year old into the buggy? Like, you know, like all those things really scare me and make
so
me anxious.
So you always got at the back of your head, who's around the corner, who's with iPhones and all those sort of things, that's really alarming. You could be anywhere. You'd be down at the supermarket.
Oh my
picking
god.
Picking up your chips.
The amount of times. Even Joe and I have just walked down the street and people are just filming us walking down the street. And you're just like, oh, like, what is this? But it's so strange. Like, first of all, who the hell wants to see me and Joe walking down the street? It cannot be breaking news. Like, I don't know who's going to pick that
woman
up.
Woman and man walk on street. Attention.
I mean, it's just weird. People do have the right to be involved in my life because I invited that in when I chose to do what I do, and I really enjoy that. But I don't think it's scary. It is scary because you want to set a good example and you want to do the right things, but at the end of the day, you are a human and I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
So I really would beat myself up for doing something not perfect.
And I think, for the rest of us, it would be great if we saw more celebrities being normal mums and, you know, like...
I don't think people want to see that,
though. Do you think?
I think that they want to see you being normal mums, but normal mums is still like, oh, I give my child rice and not quinoa. You know, right. That's their idea of normal mums. I think that when they see a mum doing something, even if it's not around their children, even if it's just... If I went out in a top that... just cover money falls. People don't want to see that because I'm a mum.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of the fact that I'm 26 and if I want to get my boobs out, you know, I mean, at any age, it's my prerogative. But because I'm a mum, people do not want to see that, I think. I mean, there is a small group of us mums, real mums, who are actually like, go on, get my boobs out.
Well, again, this is why Helen and I are sitting here naked now as well, actually.
I love to do my podcast topless.
Yeah, that's right.
Bit of feminism. Never did any harm.
That's right. That's why we'll always only be audio.
Yeah. So what are your... You've talked about sort of guilt and worries that you suffer from it. What are your coping strategies? How do you get through it?
I've got like a little drawer in my head where when I think about those... Like a metaphorical drawer, obviously. When I think about any of those things, I just am like, see you later. I'm a great mum. I'm working really hard. I independently provide for both of my children. They've got a wonderful life that I could never have imagined giving them crack on. Mm-hmm. Whatever anyone thinks, you can see you later. Like, I really am not interested. I used to be. As I'm getting older, I feel like, no, I am doing an amazing job. And I have to congratulate myself at some point and say, I don't have a partner and no one's ever supported me or contributed to my mortgage, my bills, anything. And I do that all by myself. And my children still have clothes and shoes and are fed every night. And I think that in itself is an achievement.
Absolutely.
So I just got to keep telling myself how great I am. Yes. Just to get over the guilt that I feel.
Do your finger guns in the mirror.
Yeah.
Nailed it. Number one, Stacey, number one. I think that's really good. And I think it's and I don't know whether it's a British thing because I'm Australian and naturally probably full of shit. But but it is a very un-British thing to say, well done you, without sort of at least finding, oh, sorry, terribly sorry. Oh, that's oh, but the house is a mess, blah, blah, blah. But I think we need to keep doing that and keep saying and loving
and
yourself
accepting,
as well. Yeah.
Yeah, accepting the job that we do as being in a phenomenal job, regardless of how difficult you find it or how scrutinising it is sometimes. Because I think being in the public eye actually probably doesn't make any difference, because even when I walk up the school, you still get people judging you.
Yeah.
I remember being 18 and not having been on the X Factor or anything, and an 18-year-old walking down the street with a pram, imagine what it's like. It's all, people are already judging you straight away. So I think that every mother has to go through that and get to the point where they're just like, up yours. I used to be so scared. I used to be scared to breastfeed out in public. And that was another thing that really got to me. So I'd be indoors all the time, like, well, I can't go anywhere because I've got a breastfeed. Mm. And an 18-year-old getting your boobs out in front of people, knowing that people don't particularly like it, it was horrible. Mm. People are so quick to judge. And sometimes I'm just like, you know what? I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing a good job. I'm doing the best that I can. I'm not perfect.
That's
deal with it.
And I think the important thing is that, like, often, like to say it's hard or to say that you find it tough doesn't make you a bad mother. Like, no. Those things get conflated sometimes. And I think, look, it's okay to say this is really a struggle and I'm not enjoying all of it all of the time. But at the same time, be someone who is putting, you know, food on the table and shoes on their feet. Yeah. And most importantly, being loving and caring. Like, you could, those things can coexist.
I mean, what mother out there enjoys? I mean, my 8-year-old, if he doesn't get his way sometimes, he's not a spoiled brat because I wouldn't let him be. But if he doesn't get his way sometimes, I get the, I hate you. I'm going to live with my dad. Like, if I was to say I enjoy that part of parenting, I'd be the biggest liar going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, come on. That is not fun. And sometimes I go in the other room. I'm like, he hates me. What have I ever done? But I know that that is childhood. My mum always said to me as I was growing up, one day you'll know.
Yeah.
Like, one day you're going to know how I feel.
Oh, I hate it when they're right. Oh, yeah, they're so right, Stacey. It's so annoying.
Oh. Yeah, my 5-year-old said to me the other day, I hate you. And I went, okay, it's fine. And he went, when it's your birthday, I'm going to kick you. I was like, okay, it's on October the 12th, but, you know, let's make a note of it. Yeah, we'll write it in the calendar. Kick mummy.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But yeah, it's hard.
They really test you, and it's only because they love you that they test you. Because I know Zachary has had a difficult time. He hasn't had a father influence in his life, so I know that he is lacking that male influence. I mean, my kids were literally sitting down to wee for the most part of their life until Zach was like, "How comes everyone just stands up, Mom?" Like,
beats the shit out of me.
I didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah.
No, my son's fascinated by that. But do girls always sit down? But could they stand up if they want? I don't know, mate.
Because of me, would always sit down and tuck his willy under and just go to the toilet. And never thought anything of it until, obviously, he went to school and was like, "Mum, all the other boys are standing up." And I was like, "Oh, you better stand up then."
I can't sit in that trough, Mum, with the yellow lollies. I can't do it.
And I know that he misses that male influence, but I also know that I adore him and love him, and everyone around him loves him so much that he's going to be fine. But I expect it, the test of the boundaries, do you know what I mean? Mm. I expect that. He's going to tell me he wants to live with his dad. I mean, sometimes I feel like sending him home.
Yeah, yeah. Go for it.
Have fun.
Here's your suitcase.
See you in a week. Yeah,
right. And how's it, because you've got a boyfriend now, you're going out with Joe Swash, who was a king of the jungle.
Yes,
on a different
2 years
series.
We are amongst royalty today, Illy.
Were you brought together by the shared experience of kangaroo penis?
Yeah, we were brought together by the experience, actually, first of all, because we were talking about how much we loved it, and then we just got it on because we're both idiots. I don't take myself seriously at all. Like, I haven't got time. Who knows what's going to happen? Do you know what I mean? I just want to have a laugh and enjoy myself. And he's exactly the same. He's really funny, outgoing. We act ridiculous together. And that is what I think connected us.
Mm.
Yeah, two baffoons in Australia. We were seriously bringing down the IQ of the whole of the nation while we were there.
No, you weren't.
I can't imagine what it's like to bond with someone with the fact you're both idiots. Can you?
No, I'm not.
You can't take anything seriously.
I haven't connected with Stacey at all on this level.
Or
being a dickhead in Australia. I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't put a kangaroo's dick in my mouth, though, I just want to say for the record.
Not since university.
Not since university. It's a bit like the David Cameron. Oh, I think you've got a presence in your house. Your door just opened.
Oh, yeah, it does that. I think it's the wind from the window.
It's the ghost of the kangaroo.
He's coming in. I want my cock back.
Well, I think, do you think that's enough family chat here?
Yeah, I think we've done family. Should we move on to the X Factor chat?
That's not annoying, is it, Stacey?
No, it's lovely.
Now, X Factor is, of course, how you kind of got your big break. What led you to audition in the first place?
Oh, I auditioned like 3 years in a row.
Did you?
I auditioned for everything and anything. I was studying my A-levels at the time and just really up for doing anything. Didn't even get into my school play. And then I thought, oh, I've got an audition at the X Factor. That'd be nice.
Well, you were amazing. And the nation, including especially myself and my mother, fell in love with you. Aww. Just completely. And was it Danny was your
Danny
mentor?
Minogue, yeah.
How did you get on with her?
I love Danny. Yeah. She's unbelievable. She still texts me now and keeps in touch, and she'll be like, she sends me photos. She's got a little boy, Ethan, and we send photos of our kids. Aww. Yeah, she's so genuine. Out of everyone I met on there, she was just the most genuine woman and really, really lovely. Really short. But really lovely.
We love you, Danny. If you're listening, please get in contact.
Yeah. Please come on the podcast. Bring your sister.
And did you go to? You went to judges' houses, and Kylie was there.
Oh my god!
It
was amazing. It was like, I mean, you can imagine. I've never met anybody in my life, like not even Mr. Tumble. It was the craziest experience of my life, but it just carried on being crazy.
Yeah.
I met so many people that I can't believe I've met. Whitney Houston, Alicia Keys.
Oh, stop, I'm going to cry.
Like, it really is emotional. Like, yeah. I never in a million years thought that I'd be in that position.
And you got to live in a house with Ollie Murs.
I certainly did. And you know what? It was amazing, actually, because me and Ollie were really close, like really, really close. I still love Ollie now.
And you came, I think, was it third?
Yes.
Be honest, Stacey, how badly did you want to win?
Not really at all.
Really?
For some reason, there's always that underhand feeling that you're like, well, actually, does the winner ever do that well?
Joe McHoodry? Yeah.
Once I was in the
Where
final...
Where are you now, Leon Jackson?
Once I was in the final, that was it. I was like, yes, I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done the whole experience. I haven't missed out on anything. I haven't got anything left that's going to happen without me. I've done it all. Like, I felt so lucky. And like I said, I genuinely felt so privileged just to have gone through the experience that I was just like, okay. Like, yeah. I could die. Like, well, I couldn't because of Zach. But, like, that feeling of just, like, I don't mind.
Do you still watch the show now?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, who did you root for last series?
I liked Reggie and Bowie.
Oh, I like Reggie and Bowie!
Oh, they're brilliant.
Oh, I love them. What about your kids? Like, I mean, what if they said to you, I want to go for X Factor? Like, I want to give it a go. Would you support that?
Yeah, anything they want to do. I'm not interested. I don't wish for them to be, like, rocket scientists, and I don't wish for them to be famous. I just want them to be happy.
Yeah.
So whatever they decide to do, I'll support them.
What do they want? Have they expressed any...
Zach loves golf. Which is something that actually I'm like, what? If I could choose one thing, I'm not going to. No, he
put
really,
the club down.
He's very naturally gifted at it, so I have to just let him go. And he's a very singular person. He's not a team player. He doesn't like football. But I don't. You never know. He's 8 years old. How does he know? Then he'll discover girls and, you know, clubbing, and then his golf will go out the window. Probably.
Oh, God. Put it in the drawer, Stacey. Put it in the drawer.
It's like therapy, I think, as well. He gets time to reflect on his life, be on his own, be outdoors.
Mm.
So, yeah, I do like it. It's not the social circle I'd like him to be in, to be honest with you. But he's not at the country club yet. Do you know what I mean?
That's right.
So
what's next for Stacey Solomon?
Just working really hard and enjoying myself, really, and looking after the boys. I do a clothing range, which I really enjoy. I love designing clothes. I'm writing my third novel to the sequence of novels I've been writing, which I really enjoy as well.
And you were saying earlier you write all your own books properly.
Yeah,
you don't want ghostwriters.
I don't
or any
think
of that.
I'll ever be able to do it again after this last one. It's such a big thing.
Mm.
You really need time, and you need not kids running around screaming. And when I write back to the editors and they're like, don't understand this joke. And I'm like, oh, okay. Just cut it out. Or they're like, not every sentence is shouted. Stop using exclamation marks.
Oh my God.
Stop putting smiley faces in there. Emojis do not come.
Like, oh, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Unicorn, unicorn, poo emoji, smiley face.
There are no emojis in Pride and Prejudice, Stacey.
Yeah, exactly. Ernest Hemingway would not approve.
Lol.
Yeah, no. He was a big fan of GIFs, of course, Hemingway, famously. For Whom the Bell Tolls was originally written in GIF form. Yeah. But do you have like an ambition? Like, is there one thing that you've got?
I'm really enjoying presenting, so I love doing what I'm doing at the minute. I love being a part of telly because I feel like then I'm relatable and people can feel like, oh gosh, she don't look perfect all the time and she is a normal girl. And I love doing that. I love that feeling of sort of bringing people together and making them just feel less shit in general.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely like that.
Making people feel less shit. That's pretty much our goal.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
I think that's just a general great aim in life. Like,
yeah.
We should get some t-shirts printed. Oh. Should we do a collab?
Yeah. We should definitely do that.
Scummy Mummy Stacey sell them t-shirts.
Oh my God.
Don't really be assholes and be, you know.
Yeah, enjoy life.
Yeah.
And stop feeling like shit.
I'm putting that on our website.
Yeah. Number one, get yourself a drawer in your head. Number two, stop feeling like shit. There you are, job done.
There you go.
Get yourself a crown.
Oh yeah, get a crown. Always a crown. Yeah. And a Joe swash.
All right.
Well, is it time now for a special feature, Helen?
It is now time for a special feature. We've made up a game called The Scum Factor.
Excellent. Sounds good already.
Right. So you would have seen us sing at Cherry Healy's book launch.
Certainly.
And sadly, you would also have heard us.
But we had a member of Rihanna's crew come to our show the other night. He was the manager of Rihanna's aerial...
thing. Oh, that's so a big deal.
Yeah, he said, I make Rihanna fly. He came to our show and he said, oh, it's really funny. Just one thing, I really think you should get some singing lessons.
Oh, how dare we?
But what we thought we'd do is if we sang for you...
Oh, yeah.
That almost sounded sincere, yeah, Stacey.
Oh, yeah. Because you know how to sing. You're an amazing singer, that you could give us some feedback. Like, you were the judge on The X Factor.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, turning the tables.
Yeah.
This is another opportunity for me to hear your gorgeous voices. I'm a lucky lady.
I reckon I'm going to make your dog bark. Or at least cry. I just realised my really ugly sports bra has been on display to you. I'm very sorry. God, that's my really bad sports bra.
Joe went to me, are you going to put a bra on, babe? I was like, no. I'm actually not going to. He was like, I can see your nipples.
Oh.
I was like, okay.
You're going to wax your bum hole.
You're going to bleach that bum? Well, I'm not wearing a bra.
I said we weren't going to do a scoop on you, but Stacey Solomon demands Joe Swash gets into anal bleaching. That's a headline right there, isn't it? That's a headline.
Oh, I've just bought myself a new house with that.
All right, here we go.
You can do anything, my love, but please don't do that. No, please don't do that.
Then it kicks in. How's it going so far, Stacey?
Oh, wow. It's really passionate.
She's being Louis Walsh. Don't care if you go to uni or what kind of job you do. As long as you're happy and not living at home at 32. I don't care if you get married. You live your life your own way. Don't care if your auntie's right and one day you come out as gay.
We'll leave it there before we get into the chorus. Polite clapping.
I feel there wasn't enough audience for you. I feel really like you must have felt a bit hard done by after that performance, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. Here comes the cow bitch. Just tell us straight. Tell us to stop wasting our lives.
I think, you know, the passion's there, the emotion's there. You've reworded the song, which I like.
Could you say it like Louis? You made it your own. Yeah. You made it your own.
You did. You made it your own. Yeah. And it is beautiful.
You're like a young Lenny Henry.
I felt emotional at times, for the right reasons.
Yeah.
You've been fantastic.
You've been very kind, Stacey, but at no point have you actually commented on the quality of the singing, and yeah. I can't help wondering why that is.
Well, because I think, focus on the positive, and then just anything negative can be said another time.
That's right.
By somebody else.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that would be performed to lots of different people.
Now, this is Judges' Houses, because we are at your house, yes. And we've just made you judge us. Stacey, which one of us are you going to put through to the live show?
Oh, no!
Bearing in mind, whichever one you choose, the other one will react like Ryland.
Okay. Ellie.
Oh! Oh, my God! Oh, God! Oh, Nicole, I can't believe it! Oh, God! Thanks very much. I'll get back down, mate.
No, it's fine. Love you. Love you all. It's been just the best journey. I've had a great journey, Stacey.
Oh, I did you a favour.
I know.
I saved your life.
I let it go. Excellent.
Oh, lovely stuff.
So much, girl.
It's a pleasure.
You're very welcome. Now, just to finish up, we do like to finish up with a Scummy Mummy's Confession, which is where we tell sort of terrible stories of
what do you want to know?
Being rubbish at parenting.
Yeah. So yesterday I was tidying up the garden. And I found this pot plant and it had water in it. And I thought, oh, that's weird. What's this? And I went to tip out the water and I had a little sniff and it was not water. My son has been secret toileting.
Water in the flowers.
Yeah. Literally a piss pot in my garden. Yeah. So I had to throw it all in the bin. So that, that was really nice. Thank you. Honestly, exactly.
I have loads of those stories. One of those stories is we recently went on holiday to LA and I was like, right, this is my kind of holiday, is like showing them the place,
right?
Like really getting about there. So I said, we're going to walk up Runyon Canyon, we're going to go all the way up behind the Hollywood sign, and we're going to do the hike. Bearing in mind, 3 and 7 because of my children.
Come on,
great idea.
An idiot, I didn't pack anything other than a bit of water, and literally off we went up the hike. Halfway up the hike, Leighton, I need a poo. And if I can describe to you what the hike looks like, desert. Yeah. There's not one tree, not one bush, not anything there. And then I started thinking, no, you can hold it. Best way to hold it, walk. So we're walking, all of a sudden he's like, I've done a poo. I was like, no, like, all the places. He literally pooed and it was all in his shorts, everywhere. So I had to take his shorts off and find a dog mess bin, put the shorts and in the dog mess bin. And because we were 3/4 of the way up by this point, there was no turning back.
No.
So I washed him with all the water we had left and I forced him up the mountain naked. And I was like, we are getting to the top of Hollywood
Sign.
Hollywood. I was like, welcome to Hollywood, kids. And Blaine's just like, got a t-shirt on, like, willy out, like, oh, what is it all about, mum?
Like, it's about the selfie now, shut up.
Yeah. I'll show you the selfie as well. We look so happy. I was like, you stand behind me, Leighton. Don't anyone see your bum.
Oh, my God.
Head and shoulders.
Everybody who comes to Hollywood has a dream. What's your dream? Doing a shit halfway up a hill.
It was so bad. And then, you know, when you can just smell it the whole way up as well, when it was boiling hot. It's never cold in LA. Oh, my God. And then we walked all the way back down, of course, and everyone walking past us was just like, why is your kid naked?
Don't ask.
Yeah. You'd rather this than what was there before.
That is one of the best Scummy Mummy's confessions I think we've had. I love that, Stacey. Thank you. And I feel like we've covered all the bases. We've done X Factor, we've done I'm a Celebrity, we've done Shitting on a Hill, and we've done Joe Swash and Anal Bleaching. I feel like it's all tucked
in. It's all in there.
Yeah. It's like an entire magazine of hello.
It's like the woman's out omnibus. Oh, brilliant stuff. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Please tell your friends. Please like us on the Facebook or on Twitter and Instagram at Scummy Mummies.
That's right. And we'll be doing some live shows in the summer. Come see us at Cat Festival. We'll be doing a special Secret Mummies Wine Club with Sarah Cox, DJ Sarah Cox, and the Knackered Mothers Wine Club.
Thanks again, Stacey. Yay. Until next time.
Bye.
Like a Texas.
Ellie's is good.
Thanks, Stacey. Stacey votes Ellie. Stacey's texting 61100 Gibson. Okay.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.